Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. There are so many great things discussed on today's show, but one thing you need to know, you are about to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, thanks to Candy Barone. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page. Because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Candy Barone from Austin, Texas. Now, Candy is known as the Pull No Punches Accountability Powerhouse. Candy is an international speaker, certified master coach and trainer, business strategist, certified law of attraction practitioner, and Amazon best-selling author. She's been featured on CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, World News, The Chicago Tribune, Be the Boss magazine, CI Living TV show, and numerous radio shows and podcasts. She's the recipient of the 2014-15 National Association of Professional Women Woman of the Year Award, the recipient of the 2015 Public Speakers Association Local Collaborator Award, and nominated as a 2015 Profile in Power Women of Influence in Central Texas. Candy, you have been busy. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Lynette. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Now, you know we kick off the show with a meaningful passage to our guests. Is there one that you feel inspires you?
Someday is not a day in the week. Therefore, we shouldn't be setting intention to it.
So tell us how you connect to that.
Because people procrastinate and set intentions around a lot of things and they never take action. In fact, one of the things that I say is ROI is a return on investment. It's not a return on intention because it becomes lip service when you don't do anything with it. People will push it out and push it out and say, someday, I'll do that someday. And yet they never, ever take action because they don't actually commit to what day they're going to make that happen.
Okay, so explain to us exactly what your passion is and where this all started for you.
Sure. My passion is really around, one, people getting out of their own way and giving themselves permission to play bigger. We tend to play very small, especially in our culture, and it's a way for people to step out of the existing boundaries and the fear they paralyze themselves behind.
Okay.
And so I guess if you were going to ask me where that started, it really started from me experiencing my own cycle of abuse from when I was a kid and then transferring that into various cycles of sabotage and just ongoing abuse that I created throughout my corporate career, throughout my personal life, to at some point, you know, I kind of was sitting there at the end of the road, at the end of the ramp, hanging off the cliff going, oh my gosh, this can't be everything that life's about. I feel overwhelmed. I feel burnt out. And what has it cost me to play this game and these cycles of self-sabotage that I've continued to do to myself? And I had a really big reality check that brought me full circle and was really the reason why I stepped out to help others do the same.
Can you tell us, what do you mean by self-sabotage? Can you give us an example of what you mean?
Sure. Some of it is in the way that when I say self-sabotage, it really is around the way we perceive things, first of all. So a lot of times we tell ourselves a story that's not really true. And we start to give a lot of belief and a lot of energy to that story. And so then we start to create and manifest these things around us to support that story. So those cycles of self-sabotage happen in things we do that are either very obsessive compulsive, or sometimes they can be very anal retentive, or we keep putting ourselves in toxic situations thinking A, we're either going to fix it, or B, that's all that we have in terms of our own worth. And so we keep surrounding ourselves in the very things that beat us down. And sometimes we do that from a very self-deprecating, almost narcissistic, but this need to create drama. And so we continue to build these cycles around us, and sometimes we're not even aware of it.
So I'm trying to envision what this meant for you. Can you give me one small example of what that looked like for you?
Sure. I can give you a really powerful example, and it was probably the moment that shifted everything for me. I was 35 years old. I had to go to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack. And I will tell you, it's the most humbling moment when the doctor says, "So why do you think you're having a heart attack?" And you have to tell him that you've just been on a cycle of emotional binge eating, going to the gym and working out 3 hours a day because of the emotional binge eating. And then you took fat burners to adjust for that. And then you're doing this that's compulsive. And then you're over excessively drinking. And everything that you're doing is in this very obsessive, compulsive, extreme, all or nothing way. And you think that you finally have done so many of those things together that it caused you to have a heart murmur, and found out that I had a literal physical ball of mass in my chest that was anxiety that had tripped a sliding hiatal hernia. And it was the most humiliating, most eye-opening, and most life-changing moment, because I went, "I'm 35 years old. I'm halfway through my career. Really, this can't be how I want to spend the rest of my life." And how embarrassing was it that I just had to admit all of that to my doctor and to myself? It was pretty profound.
You know, Candy, I didn't want to pry into your personal life and experience. That's why I didn't say, what was that huge moment in your life? But I want to thank you so much for opening up to my audience. And B, I want to make sure that I address my listeners who can completely relate to either one or all aspects of what you just talked about, whether it's being obsessive compulsive, whether it's having an eating disorder, whether it's drinking too much, whether it's panic and anxiety, whatever it is, you just, I know, touched a lot of my listeners right now.
Oh, well, thank you. And I will tell you, one of my biggest learnings through my own journey is the power of vulnerability and transparency. I grew up thinking vulnerability was a weakness. And I've learned that the only way I can do what's been asked of me and step into my purpose and step into my passion is to allow myself to be vulnerable. And the CNN article that came out was the first time I publicly admitted to what I just shared with your audience. And it was one of those very raw, I tell people I carried my puke bucket around with me all day, because it was really, truly not something I'm sure I was prepared to share. But I got a very clear message, and it was very clear that in order for me to serve the people I need to serve, I need to share that story, because people think they're alone and they're not.
That's what I would ask you next, is what kind of hesitations or challenges did you have transitioning from your old life into your new one?
Well, you carry some of that baggage forward, right? And it's the, no one's going to accept me, and the judgments around, I'm not worthy to be stepping into this place, and who am I to do this? And wow, what's being asked of me? And depending on what you believe in, I've been given some very clear downloads on where my life is going. There's this fear of, that's so big. You want me to do what? And I'm supposed to step into this place. And, you know, if you haven't read the poem by Marianne Williamson about your greatest fear, our greatest fear is not in failing. Our greatest fear is in succeeding and stepping into our most magnificent light. And when you have that front and center staring at you, and the question is, do you have the courage to step into it? It can be very daunting and be very frightening. And every time you think you've gone as big as you're going to go, it just gets bigger. And there's a lot of responsibility that comes in knowing you're about to step into your gift.
I have to tell you, I'm on the precipice of that right now, I believe. So you're really hitting something for me, because as you know, I just got back from the National Speakers Association Winter Conference in your town, Austin, Texas. And this is a moment that I am envisioning coming around the corner for me, this whole new world. And I just stepped into a new world 6 months ago. So I said to my husband, it's just that I just stepped into a whole new world. And so now this is bringing me to a whole nother world. And I'm super excited about it. And I feel like this transition, this stopping point, this last 6 months for me doing the podcast and that being all new was really a transition for me to mentally prepare for what's coming next. I really believe that.
Oh, I couldn't agree with that more. And here's the best part about it. this next level isn't your final stop. So it just keeps getting bigger.
Right.
And, you know, it's kind of like climbing the mountain where you're going to go to the next summit. You're going to see the amazing view. You're going to savor it. And then you get the opportunity of, do I want to hang out on this summit or do I want to keep climbing? And, it's super exciting. But at the same time, sometimes some of that old language and that old story and that old stuff creeps back in and goes, ooh, I don't know. And so, you know, we can get paralyzed in that too.
Right, because I think that we're constantly and forever going to be battling who we were and where we come from in whatever way that means for us.
Right.
So what do you think you've learned about yourself through all of this?
I learned one of my favorite things that I like to say to my clients is the one thing that I have had 100% success rate at is that every challenge that's come to me in my life, I have overcome it. And anything that I am brought to, I am also given the tools to go through it. So I lose some of that fear as a result of knowing that if it's come my direction, if it's in front of me, it's with purpose. I don't need to know how. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know when I'm going to come through it. I just need to trust that it's been given to me with a very clear purpose, and it's going to take me to a place I can't even dream of. And I will tell you, I've learned that so many times in my life, and the bigger the rock bottom, the bigger the leap out into this amazing abyss of just amazement and wonderment and just growth that I couldn't even imagine. And so I'm learning to embrace the journey, the lows as much as the highs. And that was a really big deal for me. I was kind of an all or nothing, and to really be able to live in the gray and love the gray and love the uncomfortable, get really comfortable with the uncomfortable has been very powerful for me.
You know, I can't believe that in my own life that this is a concept that I really didn't understand until a couple of years ago. Like, I just feel, and now knowing it, I feel like everybody knows it, but everybody does not know it. You know, they don't know about experiencing life that truly is the journey, that we just need to get used to that feeling of uncomfortable and know that when you are uncomfortable, that means you're growing and that you should always be slightly off kilter.
Right. And the thing is, you know, I always thought I had gratitude for things, even the stuff that wasn't so good, but to really put yourself in an attitude of gratitude and to really understand. And I, this is a personal belief. I think there are two absolutes in this world, and one is faith and one is trust. And if you have faith that your life is, you know, meant for something and you step into that, whatever, wherever that comes from, it means then you have to release all of the, and my word this year has been surrender. It means then you fully surrender to not necessarily knowing how you're going to get there.
That's actually my word. I say it all the time on here. I say, you know, I used to think you have to wrestle everything down to the ground to get control of it, to be successful. And I did that. And I did that. And I did that. And once I got so tired, I mean, so tired from doing that. And I just like threw my hands up, and you could say threw my hands up to God, you could say whatever, but physically I let go and surrendered. And then it was in the surrendering that I actually gained control.
Isn't that the most beautiful, profound? I mean, I am a recovering control freak. I am not kidding.
Right.
I'm a recovering perfectionist, recovering control freak. And you say wrestle. I used to say muscle. I'm like, I muscled my way through all of my perceived success. And at what cost? And the minute I hit rock bottom a couple of years ago when it all came crashing down around me. And I remember even saying as I, you know, was praying and whatever, I said, all right, this is it. The white flag's up. I got nothing left. I guess I'm just going to hand it over. And holy cow, it's like everything. It's like a veil got lifted and the curtain was moved aside. And it was like this whole other, you talk about the grass being greener. It's green as soon as you stop trying to water it yourself.
That's right.
And just surrender and step into what always is amazing. I don't care how it shows up. It's just, and yes, you think everybody knows it, but you don't. And sometimes you forget that, man, I've only done that crossover a few years ago myself.
Right. I think that it comes with a level of maturity, wisdom, experience, understanding, whatever you want to call it. It comes with a level of experience that you know, most people can't get this knowledge in there until they've done enough to recognize the difference, maybe. I don't know what it is, but I have spoken to some younger people who I told them, you are light years ahead of where I was when I was your age, and I can't imagine, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen for you when you are my age, you know, because
right.
I feel like I'm just hitting the highway.
I can relate to that. I have to tell you, I find it amusing that some people are so quick to judge our younger generation and the millennials that are coming up, and they use this terminology that they're so entitled. I'm like, I don't know, my fellow Gen Xers, you might want to listen to your language and the fact that you say things like, oh, I had to sacrifice, and oh, I had to do this, and I had to pull myself up on my bootstraps. You know, no pain, no gain, and they need to learn that same thing. I'm like, well, that kind of sounds like entitlement coming out of your mouth. What's interesting is when I have a client that's in her 20s, young 20s, or early 20s, and one of my ideal clients, but totally gets the fact that she wants to show up differently. She's killing it in her job. I mean, she's a high achiever. She's got it, but she's 20 years ahead of where I am. And I think about, well, she and I have these conversations. I'm like, the amount of impact you're going to have in this world for already being this cognizant and being tuned in and having a deeper, more passionate purpose. I have to tell you, I'm of the other camp that says, if I ever thought there was a generation that was going to change the world, I think it's our next generation coming up. And I get excited about their heart and their passion and their wanting to have value. And not have it be all about money. And I look at them very differently than a lot of my peers do.
And I have a feeling that that perspective that you have of this younger generation is going to play a part in your success, just for the record, because that's setting you apart.
Absolutely. So, and it's funny because I'm heading out to a college tomorrow, and I get to work with these young brilliant minds where I say, you know, there's a lot of people that are going and trying to teach corporate how to work with millennials. They're teaching millennials how to work with corporate.
Right. Well, I bet you any money, this is definitely going to be a signature of yours coming up here.
Thank you.
So one of the things you do is you help people stay in their own power and destroy the noise. So if my listeners want to check out a resource that could move them in this direction, I want to know, number one, the title of your book, and number two, if there's another resource, whether it's a book or something online, that you could also recommend.
Absolutely. I have a couple books out, but the book that's going to be most impactful, especially in terms of stepping into your own voice and destroying that noise, it's a book called You Empowered Strong. So it's the same name as my company, but then there's a tagline that says infinite possibilities and the power of yes. And so you can find that on Amazon. It's out there. It's a work in book is what I like to call it. It has some very challenging questions and activities for you to take action on anything I share with you as a way to think differently or get out of your own way or move the dial. I want you to be able to take action. And I give you those tools to do that. The other resource that I have is an online assessment. And sometimes we just need a snapshot to know where we're stuck, to know where our gaps are and where our potential opportunities are. And so I have put together a free assessment online that actually does that for you. It asks five questions in each of five different categories. So it'll ask you questions about your vision. It'll ask you questions about your mindset, your energy, your readiness, your accountability, so your discipline, and then it talks about your commitment to take action for yourself. And you can find that at sayyesquiz.com, but it really is a powerful way to just get a gauge, get an instant snapshot to see your own truth when sometimes we don't want to admit it for ourselves.
Sister friend, you are a powerhouse. You
well, thank
are
you.
A mover and a shaker, and I love it. So
thank you. I have to say, I am so thrilled to be connecting with you. I know our mutual friend Kevin connected us, and I knew the minute he said we had to talk that I would fall in love with you, and I have. And I'm so excited.
And we can see why now he says these two need to meet. They are similar people, but I can't say that because then I'm calling myself a powerhouse.
Stand in it, own it.
Okay, so now this part of the show is Motivate Me, Express to Success, because I believe to get people to act, they need to first envision something for themselves, then they need to explore what it would take, and then execute a plan. So I think we're really talking about helping people to destroy the noise that is making them unproductive. Would you say that's what we're talking about?
We are, and just to help people be clear on what I mean when I say noise, you can blame it on 20 years of corporate. I break everything down in an acronym. The noise is really the negative self-talk we create for ourselves. It's the opinions of others we choose to internalize. It's the inefficiencies we create in our daily activities. It's the shoulding we do all over ourselves. And yes, your brain just played a trick on you with purpose. And then it's the excuses that we create and perpetuate and make our reality. And so when you realize that that's what I'm talking about when I say noise, by eliminating and creating strategies to overcome that, that is absolutely the best way to take action.
Yes. The one thing you don't want to do is should all over yourself.
No, you don't. People don't realize they're burying themselves in layers of it every day. And I joke, because I'll get on stage and I'll say, stop shitting all over yourself. And you see people look at you, I'm like, yeah, your brain just did that for a reason, because it's the same thing.
Okay, so what should they envision then if they can destroy that noise? What should they envision for themselves?
First of all, they envision how it would feel to truly say yes to themselves. So what would it feel like really, truly to stand in a place where they gave themselves full permission to play out? So that when I say play out, it's to be unapologetically who they are. And when they allow themselves to do that, when they just think about what would that be like, and then think about what is it that I want to create. And I always talk about the what is not, oh, I want 20% growth on my business. That's not what. The what is, how do I want to impact? How do I want to influence? How do I want to affect change? How do I want to serve others? How do I want to show up? That's your what. And when you can envision that, you think about what that what is, and you think about giving yourself permission to move towards that, then you let go of all the how it's got to happen, all the other stuff, and you just hold that end thing in your mind and create it with so much color and so much vibrancy and so much richness, the noise starts to dissipate just on its own.
Interesting. So what about to explore then?
Then explore the people around you who are going to support you, lift you, and challenge you. Get rid of anybody that's a naysayer. Get rid of anybody that's scared. Get rid of anybody that's telling you, oh, but I love you and I'm just looking out for your best interest. So what? Get the believers. Get the people that are going after it as well, because people think, oh, but it's so lonely if I go after my dream. No one else gets it. There's a whole bunch of people out there that get it and find, so explore the support networks, explore the communities, explore the ways that you can do this with others to build it even bigger.
I mean, I have to say that it is hard sometimes, you know, when you have people in your life who you truly love and they're negative, you know, they would never take risk. They would never take leave. So they're too scared. So they try to bring you down, but it's not that you don't love them. I think you just have to kind of put them in a different category now.
Right. I always tell people the more damaging people are not the naysayers. They're easy to recognize and say, yeah, I don't need that. It's the well-intentioned people that are saying they're doing it for your best interest.
Right.
Because they're basing it on their own insecurities and fears, and they're projecting that forward. And you have to realize that often what anything someone says to you is not about you. It's a projection of either a place of love or a place of fear that they're in. And it becomes a data point, and you get to decide whether or not it serves you.
Yeah, I have to say that I have some very, very close people who are very close to me, that I can't talk to them about anything that has to do with my podcast, my upcoming 50-state tour. I can't, because their reaction, and especially because I do read body language, their reaction, how they react or how little they react, I understand and I get the message that they're sending. And so it upsets me and it brings me down,
right?
Because they're people very close to me. So I don't even bring it up.
Well, and here's the thing, and people don't realize this. You can have boundaries with people in your life that you love that don't need to know you have the boundaries.
Right.
You don't have to tell people they're no longer in your inner circle. You don't need to create that drama. You just need to make sure you're not participating with their energy. And you give people two choices when you do that. One, they will find someone else to project their fear and their nonsense to, or they will reassess how they're engaging with you, because they're going to want to continue to engage. So they will change their language, change their reactions, change whatever. But either way, it's a choice that's on them, not on you.
And that's exactly what I mean by they end up in just a different category of your life, not one, like you said. I guess it is the inner circle. And I really hate to admit that to myself. You know what I mean? But if I'm right. moving forward to something that's so meaningful to me, you know, and you are, like you're saying, they're being naysayers or for my own good, I can't keep that connection the same way because it's hurtful to me.
Right. And there is a saying that says the five people that are closest to you are the biggest indication of your character and your potential. And if you don't like what you're seeing, it's time to do a little housekeeping.
Yep. So to execute a plan then?
First and foremost, and I couldn't be called the Pull No Punches Accountability Powerhouse if I didn't talk about accountability. I don't care how you set it up, but either find a coach, find a mentor, find systems. But if you are not holding yourself accountable to the very things you say you want to make happen, so getting accountable in terms of when is this going to be, you know, on your radar? How are you going to go about? What's the discipline you're going to create? Is this still a priority? Because we get side, you know, tracked in a little squirrel mentality. I'm completely, you know, guilty of that. But if we don't have somebody or something or some way to hold us accountable, because we can, as human beings, only see the forest for the tree. We can't see the forest for the tree. And what we don't realize sometimes is we get so myopic in our thinking that if we don't have ways to pull us out and then hold us accountable to what we're rambling, what we say, where our passion lies, it's all for naught. You won't get the sustainable success. You won't get the traction. You won't be able to go big to grow big if you don't put those measures, put those accountabilities in place. I am really big about that's why people fall flat is they get that, they start running the tape, they make that big, oh, I hit the goal, and then it's like, what do I do now? And they don't know how to sustain and stay at that high-performing level. So it's like the blast up, and then they fall back down, and it's blast, and that gets exhausting. And so that accountability for me is everything.
So since accountability is your thing, let me ask you what you think about this. For me, my accountability is really bottom line, because I'm seriously thinking about this as you were just talking. What really holds me accountable is the fact that I am so incredibly grateful for my husband's support in what I'm doing right now that I think that is actually my accountability. Like the fact that I'm just so grateful and I just want to live up to the faith he has in me for where I'm going and for the opportunity to just go full out on what I'm doing right now, that I feel like that is my accountability. So I feel like, can you create your own accountability?
Absolutely. As long as you're very clear that it's an accountability that serves you and you're not doing it to serve someone else. So it's not someone else's agenda. It's not whatever. But yes, you absolutely can create your own accountability. Some people do it with the processes and the systems or measurement tools that they put in place. It may be the fact that because of the gratitude you have for your husband and you are like, I want to live up to that expectation, I would challenge that there might be some other things that you could do to hold yourself accountable in that space. But you can very well make that accountability for yourself by yourself.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, a lot of it stems from the fact that why did I do it in the first place? You know, why did I want to do this in the first place? Why do I want to go on the tour? Why am I doing my show? All of that. And that is all about me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and the goals that I have within that are all about me. And then just the fact that I have somebody supporting that, you know, just makes me feel like, yes, he believes in me and I know I can do this. And these are my, I keep coming up with new guidelines or new goals, new everything, because it's just, you know, when you create, you're a creator and you have all these ideas, like you just keep naturally pushing yourself. And the one thing that's in the back of my mind is just being grateful that I get to do this and the opportunity to have somebody so supportive behind me that I just want to be thrilled, like in myself, with myself. And I want my husband to feel the same way. And I want it to be something that benefits both of us in the long run. And I feel like
right.
it does feel like a sense of accountability.
Well, and I would gather that the accountability is really coming more from the fact that your husband is plugged into it. So he's asking the questions and asking how your progress is coming. And he's doing it from a loving place and a place that serves. Because if he was just there and said, hey, I support you and didn't engage then I would say that's not an accountability. The accountability is in the fact that he's engaged in the process and he's connecting with you along the way and he's asking questions and he's checking on your progress and he's doing these things. That's where the accountability really happens.
Right. And it's in a really healthy, good way because he's so busy with his own life. Like he doesn't have time to be, he's not a micromanager. He doesn't have time to be that involved, but he's involved enough to want to know what's the latest and how's it going and gives me great ideas and is somebody I can run my ideas past and isn't, and he does not yes me. You know, I think that's what's really important right. too. He challenges me even if I'm annoyed by it.
Right. Well, but that's where accountability is going to be key because people, I will tell anyone if they are building accountability that just is a yes people, they're not the right accountability because if it is not people, that's why I said even your inner circle, if they don't challenge you, supporting you is one thing, but they need to challenge you too. You cannot see the forest for the trees by yourself. And if you do not surround yourself with people that are going to help you grow, you're playing really small. And so that accountability comes in more being able to own your voice when you disagree with something or being challenged that gets you to go, huh, I never thought of that before. Still think this, but that really was good insight. And so that it gives you that pause to just ask, is this the right choice for what I'm trying to do?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So what final thought would you like to leave everybody with? What closing advice?
Well, I will bring it down into a couple, I guess, little catchphrases that I say because I think it sums it up and I kind of close that way anyway. I would say it starts with you learning how to say yes to yourself. Destroy the noise so that you can truly go big to grow big. And above all else, it means you have to take action to gain traction. And so I believe that because I think those little snippets are so powerful to like kind of summarize everything we've talked about.
Now, I know that you have a global audience and you can coach through Skype and everything else. So I would like to make sure that you give everybody your contact information. Your website, I know, is CandyBaroneInternational.com. What other contact
Correct.
Information would you like to put in here?
Sure. If anyone wants to email me directly, they can email me at CandyBarone, all one word, at youempoweredwithad.com for the name of my business. But I am absolutely available. My contact information is on my website. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter. Yeah, all you got to do is look up Candy Barone. It's spelled CandyBarone, B as in boy, ARONE. So think Candy Bar One and you can't not find me.
And I want to make sure that we put you in our Motivate Me Ultimate support system too, so we can stay updated with what you have going on and we can connect you with our audience there too. Does that sound good?
That sounds great. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. It was such a pleasure getting to know you. And I just love what you're doing. I love your perspective. And I am all about that life process, Candy. Everything that we've experienced leads us to where we are now. And I, of course, would never wish any struggles upon anyone like you have had in your life. However, you'd have to be blind not to see that those examples, those experiences in your life is what has led you to help so many others in what you're doing now.
Oh, absolutely. I tell people constantly that when we keep trying to shrink away from our experiences, but our experiences were given to us for a reason. I wouldn't wish my childhood on anyone, but I am so blessed that it was given to me because I am supposed to do something with it. And I couldn't do the work I was doing without it. And so how can you not be grateful for that?
Yeah, that's really powerful. So thank you so much for coming on. This is the end of the show, and this is where we give my audience members a go do. So what do you think they should go out and do right now today to get started?
Honestly, I think so many people are so caught up in being an adult. I give everyone permission to go play today. Let your creative juices flow again. Tap back in. Go watch a Muppet movie. Go swing. Go play outside, depending on what area of the country you live in. But do something color. Do something that has truly put you in a place to be a child again. Most adults, that's the first step before they can even break through anything else.
I need one of those adult coloring books with a nice new set of Sharpies. That's what I need. All those colorful Sharpies.
Oh, there is fantastic.
I need that. I need that in my life. Okay, that's it. Thanks again, Candy, for coming on the show. And that was my favorite name when I was little, by the way, Candy. And listeners, please remember, you motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.